So how do you relate to difficult colleagues? I imagine we've all experienced them at one time or another. Could be a colleague who just doesn't like you at work. It could be a colleague who always seems to disagree with you in a meeting, a colleague who takes the credit for the work that you've done, a colleague who says he'll do something for you and doesn't follow through, doesn't do it. It could just be a colleague who just winds you up, just gets under your skin like no other. Now, how are we meant to relate to them? And can I just say that Charmaine is great to work with? I mean, in case any of you are thinking, maybe Mark's been asked to speak on this topic because he worked for some really difficult colleagues like Ian and like I don't, they're great. I have had some difficult colleagues in the past. As I said, I think we all have. They do make life hard for us. They do make going to the office and being in the office very difficult. What are we to do? How are we to respond to them? How are we to relate to them? Let's find out. Verse 27, Jesus speaking, so the one who truly knows the answer to this question, because he's the Lord of the universe, Lord of all relationships, the creator of relationships. And what does he say in verse 27? He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. So how do we relate to difficult colleagues? We love them. Now, clearly Jesus is speaking first and foremost about enemies here, how to relate to our enemies. And it might be you do feel that some of your colleagues are like your enemies. More likely they could just be difficult, you could just find them annoying. But either way, if we're to treat our enemies like this, we are certainly to treat colleagues and difficult colleagues like this. We are to love them. Do good to them. Bless them, pray for them. Now, as you heard that read out, I wonder, how do you respond to that? What did you make of that? Is that your initial reaction? When someone's annoying you in the office, is your initial thought to sort of pray for them and to bless them? If they insult you, do you think, yeah, okay, I'll bless you back. You're a great guy. It seems just quite unnatural, doesn't it, to respond like this? So, I'll speak for myself here. I don't know what it's like for you. When I used to work with a particularly difficult colleague, my temptation was to avoid them in the office, to have nothing to do with them. If they insulted me, my instinctive reaction inside was to sort of come up with some pithy little comeback, right to their face or, to someone else later on in the day. If I was going to pray for them, it might be praying for them that they would get moved to another desk or another part of the office. God sack that. But, Jesus is talking about praying for their well-being, for their spiritual well-being, for their flourishing. That was not top of my prayer list for these sort of people. Are they the top of yours? Jesus' teaching here, you read it for the first time, it is incredibly radical, unnatural to how we normally respond. I want us to do a quick experiment. I want you to raise up your dominant hand. I'm right-handed. Here's your right hand. You raise them up. Stick out your index finger. Okay, I want you to turn to one of your neighbors. I want you to give him a little jab in the side. Now, you can go ahead and do it. Give him a little jab. Got to be slightly careful here. Okay? Those of you who were jabbed, what was your instinctive reaction? I saw some people doing it. It's a sort of jab you straight back again. And a university did this study, and they found that when people jab back, they always do it harder than how they were originally jabbed. And the first person's thinking, I didn't jab you that hard. So then they go in, and sort of this cycle starts. You're all jabbing each other. And the point is, instinctively, by nature, the way we are, we like to retaliate. We like to plot revenge. We replay conversations later on in the day. I wish I'd said that. That's how we naturally respond. Jesus says, do the opposite. Love them, don't hate them. Bless them, don't curse them. Pray for them, don't avoid them. It's radical, it's completely different to how we normally think and feel, and yet this is how we're to respond as Christian believers. And if you do, they probably won't know what to do with you. They'll be shocked by it. I remember having a previous church, a friend from a Muslim background, and I was just interested to find out how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And so as I said, how do you become a Christian? He said, love your enemies. As I come again, he said, love your enemies. That was it. Jesus' words to love
your enemies. It was just completely out of the box of his thinking. He said, completely radical. He'd never heard anything like it. He said, growing up in a Muslim background, what he'd heard was, with your enemies, you hate them. To hear Jesus speaking of loving your enemies, to see Christians in his country loving like this, despite persecution, it just said it had a profound effect on him. It radically changed him. It was just so extraordinary that that is what brought him to faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says we are to love our colleagues in the same way. Even the difficult ones. We're to love our enemies like this. Certainly difficult colleagues. If the boss underpays you, Jesus says love him, love her. Don't slacken off. Don't cut corners. Do good to them. If a colleague talks down to you in front of others, Jesus says, don't retaliate, just ignore that little comment in your head that you want to say. Love them, pray for them. It's amazing how when we pray for people, our attitudes towards them, our feelings will change. If it's just a colleague who just really annoys you, really gets under your skin, don't take a picture of them and put them on a dartboard. Love them, bless them, do good to them. That is how Jesus wants us to relate to difficult colleagues. Now, just to be clear, in verse 29, when Jesus speaks of someone slapping you on one cheek and you turn the other cheek, Jesus is not saying that as Christians we should just let people trample all over us, which is often how this verse is used. That phrase, turn the other cheek, it's an idiom of the time. It's idiomatic for an insult. So it's a little bit today when I say, oh man, that was a bit of a low blow. It's not that that person literally hit me, but it, you know, that insult was a little bit under the, a little bit low. It's like that. And Jesus said, when you're insulted like this, don't retaliate. Okay, we are allowed to give constructive feedback to colleagues. We are allowed to report people if you notice something irregular. If someone harasses you in any way, tell your boss about it. You know, these are actually all loving things to do for their sake and for the sake of the company. But what we don't do is we don't retaliate. We don't hate them. We don't curse them. We don't ill-treat them. Jesus wants us to love them, bless them, pray for them. Okay, that's the first thing. Secondly, though, notice that as we love them in this way, praying for them, we are not to expect something back from them, that we aren't to do it in order to get something back. So just look at how Jesus continues in verse 32. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Here we go. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Do you see how high the bar of love is according to Jesus Christ? To love our enemies by blessing them, praying for them, doing good to them, and yet to do it not expecting anything to get back. Now, I'm thinking to myself when I read this, you know, Jesus calls me to love my enemies. That's pretty radical. But, you know, Jesus knows what he's talking about. And, you know, perhaps if I do good to a difficult colleague, you know, he'll do good back to me. If I put in a good word for him or her, she'll put in a good word for me. Quid pro quo. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And we have that friend, you know, keep friends close, keep your enemies closer. The thinking being, again, you know, if we treat them well, they'll treat us back in return. And Jesus is saying, no, that is not the love I'm talking about. If you love like that, Jesus is saying, when thinking still about yourself, what's in it for you, that is not love, that is manipulation. I want you to love someone selflessly. I want you to love someone not thinking of yourself, not what you may get back. Now, we might be thinking to ourselves, is that even possible? How can you love someone and not have some sort of instinctive little thing that you're going to get back, even if it's the joy of doing it? Can you love someone without any sort of self-interest? And, you know, Jesus, how does that work with the next bit? Because it seems to contradict himself. Jesus says that, and then look at the end of verse 35, the next sentence. It says, then your reward will be great. Well, isn't that getting something back? You're getting a reward. Okay, it's from God, it's in the future, you're still getting something. What's going on here? My son's almost four. He's recently started drawing, sort of learnt to draw. He's got his little tights blackboard with his chalk. I came home the other day and he'd drawn a picture of someone. It was little squiggles and lines and circles. I was very impressed as a proud father. It looked like a person, they had a big head. But anyway, I said to Theo, I said, oh, who's that? Oh, he said, that's you, Daddy. I've drawn you, Daddy, you know, because I love you, Daddy. And he said that. And I tell you, you know, a grown man can make him. I was welling up. Here's my son. He's drawn a picture of me and he loves me. And I was just thrilled and I was smiling and smiling at him and smiling at his picture. And we had a wonderful afternoon together. I can tell you, when Theo drew that picture, he wasn't doing it as a way of sort of twisting my arm to sort of get something from me, like the latest Brio truck or something, or train, and you know, or car, or getting a small pack of Smarties. He was just drawing. He just loved the drawing. You know, he loved me. I wasn't trying to get something, I wasn't expecting anything back, but I tell you, his reward was great, because there I was thrilled, I was smiling at him, smiling at his picture. As I said, we had a wonderful time. Jesus is saying, love your enemies, not expecting anything in return from them, from God, from anyone. But you do love like this, and your reward will be great. You love like this, God is thrilled at you. God is smiling over you. He loves it when his children love others like this. All right, here's the question then. How do we do it? How do we love like this? How do we love so selflessly and with no self-interest? How do we love our enemies, difficult colleagues, like this? Well, verse 36, the last thing Jesus says. He says, be merciful, sort of summarizing it all, just as your Father is merciful. In other words, how do we love like this? Well, by remembering, if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, that this is how God has already loved us. This is how God loves us. He's been merciful to us. He has blessed us, not cursed us. He's done good to us. He has died for us. Do you think it was easy for Jesus Christ, God of the universe, coming to earth and being insulted and spat upon and rejected by the world he created, betrayed by his closest friends? Do you not think Jesus was tempted to avoid his enemies, to avoid the cross? You know, we're told that he sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sweated blood, can you imagine that? Sort of the stress upon him, the spiritual weight, you know, so great that his blood vessels started bursting, sweat pouring. You know, and yet, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus could have avoided his enemies. He could have cursed them. He could have destroyed them with just a word. And yet, Jesus didn't. Jesus doesn't hate us. He loves us. Even on the cross, as those iron nails are hammered into his hands, on the cross, even as one of the criminals next to him hurls insults at him, even then, he does not retaliate. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is how God treats us. He loves you. He forgives you. He's merciful to you. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you know what it is like to be loved like this. To be loved even when we were sinners. To be blessed by God, even though we deserve to be cursed by him. Because of our sin. This is how he treats us. And he says, this is how I want you to treat others. I've loved you like this. You love others like this. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And just to be clear, Jesus is speaking to Christians here. Those who call God their Father. Who have God as their Father. So Jesus just isn't telling anyone, you know, love your enemies, and that's the way you sort of earn your way into the new creation or into God, you know, God's good books. No, that's got nothing to do with what's going on here. And it's impossible to do that. We said before, it's unnatural. We can't love like this. No one can. No ordinary person can. Jesus loves like this. He's the only one who can help us love like this. This is for Christians. Those who have forgiven, those who have come to Jesus Christ. Who know his transforming power in their lives. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, once put it like this. Only God can give us a selfless love for others as the Holy Spirit changes us from within. This is the one reason we must receive Christ, for apart from his Spirit, we can never be freed from the chains of selfishness, jealousy, indifference. I wonder what it is, just as we're thinking about it, you know, what causes us to retaliate or not to want to love our difficult colleague. You know, is it our rights? You know, is it our pride? How dare they treat me like that? Is it our fear of not getting the recognition due to us? There'll be lots of different reasons for each of us. It is just as well that Jesus Christ did not treat us in that way. You know, or we'd be heading to hell. If one person had rights, it was Jesus Christ. He's God, and he gave up all his rights for us. If anyone, you know, could be proud, as it were, it would be Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He was sinless. And yet he humbled himself, gave it all up for us on a cross. The almighty, powerful, holy God of the universe come to earth stripped naked on a cross for us. Even when we turned our back on him, even when we ignored him, and we go through our life not caring much about him. God himself, in the person of Jesus, loves us when we're his enemies. And he tells us, love in the same way. So the next time you are struggling, you're going to go back to your office now. You might be having someone particularly in mind. Maybe you've got a meeting coming up with them. If you find it difficult, remember these words. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You want to make a real difference in the office? Love them. Like this, like God has loved you. Be good to them. Bless them with your words. Pray for them. Don't retaliate. Don't get caught in that little jabbing cycle, so to speak. Be different. Be radical. Love them. Just as God loves you. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much indeed for this reminder of your incredible love for us, your mercy towards us, coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ and dying for us, loving us selflessly, sacrificially, unconditionally. I pray, Father, that's something that we remember as we go back to the office now, and that that would transform us and help us and empower us to love others and to relate to difficult colleagues. Please help us to be different, to be radical, to not retaliate, to love as the world loves, but to love as you call us to, that people may be shocked by it and come to know this love that you have for them. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.